This podcast on WSIU.org is a member-supported service of WSIU Public Radio. Your contributions help provide WSIU's online programming. Call 800-745-9748 or give online at WSIU.org. And thanks.
You're listening to Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio, your NPR station. Special guests in this morning as a part of the Lazar Distinguished Lecture Series at the SIU School of Law. This morning, it's Advocates for the Innocent and part of the Downstate Innocence Project, which is now becoming the Illinois Innocence Project. We have in studio with us this morning Randy Steidel and Mike Callahan, who were instrumental in one of the cases that people may or may not be familiar with. I want to let you all tell your stories, so we'll get right to it. Randy, you were convicted of a crime and exonerated later, so this is obviously something that touches really close to home for you. Can you tell us your story?
Yes, I was exonerated much later. I was wrongfully arrested, charged, and convicted in 1986 of the brutal deaths of Dyke and Karen Rhodes, a young newlywed couple that lived in Paris, Illinois. And My journey through the criminal justice system was an exercise in futility. I had an incompetent attorney who did no investigative work. I had a corrupt prosecutor and corrupt police officers who perjured themselves on the witness stand and have continued to do so for the past 25 years under oath. And my appeals process was nothing more than an exercise in futility. When you have corrupt judges at every state level and every state court that want to hold the hand of a corrupt prosecution and police officers and condone what they did, it took me 6,305 days to finally prove my innocence. And if it hadn't been for the efforts of Mike Callahan, who stood up in the face of adversity and jeopardizing his own career to have a search for the truth and to bring closure to the victims' family members, I would probably still be doing life without parole.
This is probably a question for both of you, but a lot of times when you hear cases like this where someone is exonerated, there's new evidence, someone comes forward and confesses. How was your case resolved?
Well, there was no physical or forensic evidence tying me to the crime. There was no DNA. I had a corroborated alibi. It remains corroborated to this very day. It was a fact that the state portrayed two alleged eyewitnesses to this crime, a drunk and a mentally ill woman who said they were present and watched me and Herb Whitlock commit this crime. Total fabrication by the prosecution and police officers, and it was intended to silence Whitlock and myself for reporting this prosecutor, Karen Rhodes' employer, to the FBI 6 weeks before the murders. That was the motive to frame Whitlock and Steidel.
Mike, can you tell us a bit about your work on this case and why did you get involved and how it all came about?
Well, I was with the Illinois State Police for 25 years, and in 1998 I transferred. Most of my career was in the Chicago area, and I transferred down to Champain in 1998. 2 years later, I was promoted to lieutenant. The Downstate Innocence Project at the time asked us to review the Rhodes case, claiming they had new information that these two men were innocent. Not only that, there was a 48-hour show that was pending, and this caused a lot of concern within the Illinois State Police. George Ryan was our governor. He was already under investigation for federal corruption. So they wanted everything kept to a minimum, any scandal or embarrassments. When I got the case, I was basically told you could just rubber stamp this. We have the right guys. And at that point in my career, I thought, you know what, we are the Illinois State Police. We don't make mistakes, and we would never be a part of putting innocent men in prison. But as you looked at this case, there were so many red flags. I was alarmed and ashamed at the same time. There was so much exculpatory evidence, these two eyewitnesses that they, the police officers, had caught in so many lies and contradictions. And then it became very obvious as you looked into the file and read a lot of the witnesses that were ignored in this case that not only did these eyewitnesses lie, I mean, they weren't even at the murder scene. It was just a total manipulation by the police. And it's called exculpatory evidence. I mean, they had withheld so much evidence in this case, I lost count.
You mentioned that the Downstate Innocence Project brought this issue to your attention and said, listen, you guys need to take a closer look at this. In both of your opinions, I'll let you each take a chance to answer this. How important is an organization like the Innocence Project, Mike?
Oh, I think it's very important. You know, police officers and police agencies, once we have an arrest and conviction, that's our closure, and we feel like we've given closure to the victims. Never in your mind do you think that any one of our officers were ever part of wrongfully convicting anyone. So it's very important because the Better Government Association has shown. I mean, recently they did a study. Illinois is one of the top states for wrongful convictions, and they held that 85% of those was due to police or prosecutorial misconduct. So you need an agency like the Downstate Innocence Project to be a safeguard, just as you have defense attorneys and criminal trials. And you know, let's face it, prosecutors don't become prosecutors because they're easy on crime. They get elected because they're hard on crime. So it's just a very – it's an adversarial system, and you need to have adversaries on both sides for all the victims.
Sure. Randy, your perspective?
I believe, you know, now that the death penalty is out of the equation in the state of Illinois, you still have people doing passive death sentences with life without parole, 60 years, 40 years. To me, the Innocence Project is an organization that – can review what's been done because it's a human factor. This justice system, I don't know why people have such blind faith that our criminal justice system is 100% correct. We've proven on death row that I'm one of 20 that he couldn't get it right. And when you have an irreversible punishment like the death penalty, you know, you better be 1,000% certain. And our criminal justice system is a human factor. We all make mistakes. Even if you don't have 1 ounce of corruption involved in a case, you're still a human, and it's only as good as the people that work within it. So for people to believe that our courts are always correct when you have other agencies like our medical field or our banking industry who all make blunders, you know, and it's a human factor.
Sure. It would be very easy to live your experience, Randy, and to be completely jaded against the judicial system and the judiciary, but you're still involved and you still tell your story and you're still active. Why is that so important to you?
When I got out of prison 8 years ago, I joined a group, a nonprofit organization called Witness to Innocence. It's made up of and ran by exonerated death row inmates. And I realized that in order to make people aware of the flaws in this death penalty across the country, that we band together and educate politicians, faith groups, colleges. It's the only way you're going to change a barbaric system. You know, if we are truly a civilized country, we have no business dealing with the death penalty.
Do you agree, Mike, that the death penalty is unfair? Do you think that the state should have abolished it?
Yes, I do. There was a time when I believed in the death penalty, and now when I've seen not just this case, but so many cases now that have come to my attention, some through the Innocence Project, some through private investigators and other police agencies, it's very frightening because, you know, there is the human factor, and sometimes it's a simple mistake. Sometimes it's over-aggressiveness. Sometimes it's putting on the blinders. And sometimes it's just the political pressure of wanting to get closure because the public demands closure. But and then sometimes it's worse than that. There's you know, corruption. So, it's very frightening.
Sure. We just have a minute or so remaining, but I wanted people to have the opportunity to get involved on their own level. So where do we go from here? How can people get involved and work with groups like you're involved with?
I would say support the Innocence Project. I mean, justice isn't cheap. And there's a lot of innocent people sitting in prison that need help. And the Innocence Project can only do so much, can only take so many cases. So I would say your money would help. There's a lot of innocent people sitting in prison, not just in the state of Illinois, but across the country.
Sure. Randy and Mike, I appreciate you taking the time this morning, and thanks for telling your story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.